Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he is certainly an icon of TV, movies, politics, a true dark horse maverick. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, host of the hit TV show on True TV, Conspiracy Theory, going into his third season. Number one New York Times bestseller over and over again. His latest book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He's got a new book coming out soon as well. The prolific Jesse Ventura joins us for the next hour. And he told me some pretty hardcore stuff yesterday, but said I couldn't talk about it. Today, he said, I might want to talk about it. He'll make the decision. We'll talk about it later in the hour if he wants to. Governor, good to have you here with us.
Great, Alex. Always a pleasure to be here. It's ugly, rainy weather today up in Minnesota, so that's why I agreed to do an hour with you, because I can't play golf.
You're so good.
You're the only, golf is the only thing that'll stop me from doing you, Alex.
I know. You're very, very nice, sir. Before we get into all the serious issues, now, your wife, Terry, is so great. It was great seeing her out at your birthday party in Los Angeles. But yesterday I call up and I go, yeah, Jesse said call Monday to get him on this week. She said, oh, great. Well, he's on the elliptic and the dog's on the treadmill and they watch sports together. And I said, my God, that'd be the ultimate sports center video. And she goes, no, he'd get mad at me. And I said, no, I'm just joking. But you got to tell us about your dog and about the treadmill action.
You know, I always like to keep myself in shape. You know, I try to do that. I think it's even more important as you get older to continue to train and, you know, keep you physically in shape as much as you can. And so I try to work out light with weights in the morning, and then I do the elliptic machine after. And right now I do 6 miles at a pop on it, you know, which is pretty good. And, you know, my dog, when I first started training, he loves to participate in anything that I do and wants to be around me or my wife constantly. And so he immediately looked like, what do I do during all this? And he got up on the treadmill and we turned it on with no training at all. And he now runs on the treadmill while I do the elliptic machine. And of course, I got a TV screen in there, and if The Young and the Restless is on, we watch that. If it's before that, we watch The Price is Right, or we watch SportsCenter, depending on what time of the day it is. But, yeah, he trains with me every morning, and it's kind of nice to be able to do that. And even when the weather gets bad here in Minnesota, that's what's good about it. We can train indoors, so it's a good thing. And, you know, dogs will adapt to treadmills. I don't think, though, if they are allowed to be introduced to them in a good manner and not get frightened of them in any way, shape, or form, a dog will run on a treadmill, and it's a great way to keep them in shape. And, like, on today's days like today in Minnesota, when it's raining out all day, saves you from having to go outside.
Well, especially a prized German Shepherd. Now, he has a public name, and then he has his real name, but this is a well-trained German Shepherd, really smart.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, he's not a German Shepherd. He's a Belgian Malinois.
Okay, well, it looks like a German Shepherd to me. I'm ignorant.
Well, no, you're not ignorant. They look very much alike because years and years ago, the German Shepherd, I believe, came out of the Belgian Malinois. Oh. He is just called a Belgian Shepherd. You have a German Shepherd and a Belgian Shepherd, and they're slightly different. The Belgian's a little bit smaller, doesn't get the hip displacement problems because your German Shepherds are big. You know, they get 90 to 110 pounds or more. And any dog that gets that big is going to have the problem of the hip displacement stuff or run the risk of it. Not saying they all will, but they run a greater risk, where the Belgian Shepherd is about 75, between 70 and 80 pounds. And that 20 pounds difference can make all the difference, apparently, between the hip trouble, you know. And then, of course, a lot of it could be hereditary, too.
Is Dexter looking up at you right now, Governor?
No, he's upstairs sleeping. He did his treadmill this morning, so along with me. So now he's taking a break while I talk to you.
So how many miles did the Belgian Shepherd do?
Oh, I usually put him on there for about a half hour to 45 minutes. You know, I don't keep track of the miles. I just set it at a particular pace and let him go for 30 to 45 minutes. It gives him good exercise.
Incredible. Wow. All right, Governor, stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. We're going to get into a host of issues, election 2012, the TSA, and more with Jesse Ventura.
you know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalists on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest, New York Times bestselling author, I don't know, four or five times over. His latest book, by the way, is available at InfoWars.com. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. He's got some new books coming out as well. We'll see if we can get him to talk about that. Third season of the hit TV show that I think has had a lot of courage. Conspiracy theory, getting into Rex 84, FEMA camps, the whole nine yards. We're going to talk to him about election 2012. He's got some breaking comments on that that he relayed to me yesterday that are certainly newsworthy. Also, we're going to be looking at the TSA as much as he can say about his lawsuit that the judge still hasn't ruled on. We're talking about a long period of time here. That's all coming up. But out of the gates first with Governor Ventura, some breaking news yesterday, and I've actually gotten some calls about this separately, but I couldn't confirm it. But I do see that there are some publications here that are talking about it, and the production company has told Ventura that it's true. So if it isn't true, it's an elaborate hoax. But Governor Ventura, you want to tell folks what's going on with the TV show?
Well, we're in the middle of production of our third season, and, you know, we've settled on eight more conspiracies, some of them very bizarre. It's going to be an interesting year. We've changed personnel a little bit. We've brought on board my son, Tyrell, who will now be on camera. Last year, he was simply off camera and working behind behind the scenes as a producer. He's a good-looking kid and belongs in front of the camera. He hates it. He wants to be behind it. But like everybody, they may succeed at something that they don't generally isn't their first choice. But my son's coming on screen this year with me, along with Sean Stone, who is a very bright young man, a graduate of Princeton, and happens to be the son of Oliver Stone. So that can only spell trouble when you see Ventura's teaming up with Stones. And it can only be trouble for our government, because I'm a great admirer of Oliver Stone, and his son Sean is a chip off the old block. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's a brilliantly smart young man, and he's kind of introverted, and I'm going to attempt on the show to make him a little more extroverted by the time we're done. But what's happened, Alex, we're in production right now, and we were doing a very controversial show that involved a Dr. Fred Bell, who is the brother of the famous radio man Art Bell. And he did a controversial interview with me just a day or two ago, 3 days ago, whatever it was. And he's staying here in Minneapolis, and within 24 to 36 hours later, he's found dead in his hotel.
Now, I see some YouTube videos on this, so it's broken, and I see Godlike Productions talking about it, you know, asking if it's true. You say the production company believes it's true, and I know you've been investigating, and so we're still not 100% confirmed on this, but certainly it's out there now. I mean, Jesse, specifically, I know you probably don't want to get into what you were talking to him about, or perhaps you do, but we need to find out if this is true or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going under the assumption that it is, because, like I said, I had a conference call with my production company out in Los Angeles yesterday, and they were all speaking at it absolutely positively that Dr. Fred Bell is indeed dead. Tragically, a very interesting man to talk to say the least. Very well-read man, an exceptionally educated man. He's a direct in-line descendant of Alexander Graham Bell. I didn't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's a direct descendant of him, you know, and obviously with the same last name, Dr. Fred Bell. And, well, at least that's what he told me, and I can only take him as a man of his word. He's very much and has been involved in many U.S. government operations, both as a consultant and who knows what else. And he told me some very interesting things that will be revealed on the show, which I'm not at liberty to reveal right now. But it is, if it's just a simply tragic circumstantial happening that he happened to do these controversial interviews with me, and then within 48 hours is dead, I don't know. I don't know if there's more to it. I can't make any statement that there is or isn't at this time. It may be just circumstance. It may have been just his time to go. I don't know. But in the words of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, who I now hold deeply to me all the time, Prouty said, nothing just happens. Everything is planned. And so that always rings in the back of my mind a little, Alex. But I don't want to put anything more into it. He may have just simply, that was his last day on Earth. I don't know.
Certainly, but I mean, good.
It just seems very strange that he would leave this planet after in less than 48 hours after doing an explosive interview with me.
You've told me the topic off air, and that's what makes it even more creepy, because I have seen a lot of strange things happen in and around that particular topic. But I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. But you know, Dr. Fred Bell, brother to Art Bell. You know, everyone knows him from, I believe, Coast to Coast, right?
Yes.
With Art Bell, probably one of the biggest radio shows in United States history. And Fred Bell was an exceptional, bright scientist type, extremely smart man. And some of the things he revealed me was his intimate dealings with the U.S. government on many, many highly top-secret-type operations and top-secret-type projects that were probably even way beyond what I was as a Navy SEAL. You know, I would be down, the Navy SEALs are down at the knuckle-dragger level. We are. We're the ones that go out and physically do the jobs. Dr. Bell would be at a level where those are the brain trusts, the way up there that eventually can lead to some SEAL-type operation, certainly. But, you know, he's up in the stratosphere beyond anything that I would have ever been even close to with my top secret security clearance when I was in the Navy.
And we know there's a lot of other shadow stuff going on, like when you had just become governor and they called you down in the Capitol basement and there were 23 CIA agents.
Well, not really. I agreed to do it. They called it they listed it as a classroom thing. That's what it officially was called. And they asked if I would be participating in it. So it wasn't that sneaky peek. I mean, I could have turned them down, Alex. It wasn't that I was required to, but it piqued my interest, and I thought this will be interesting.
Sure, but it goes to your point that I know you've made, that they look like your neighbor.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And there's a lot more to this story that, as it progresses, I don't want to say anything right now, Alex, of anything behind the scenes that I know. But I'll just say this. He told me some very provocative things that I think that I will have to go to the police with. Things that he told me in our interview off the air that I think that I will have to let the local police know what he had told me.
Wow. So, yeah, because yesterday when you told me about this, you said don't get into it. We're not going to talk about it. But then this morning, right before you came on, you said, you know what? I think I'm going to have to talk about this, and then we had to go live. So I think that's what you were alluding to, is that this is stuff you're not going to be able to keep quiet about.
Well, but my first obligation is to inform the authorities of what was said to me.
Yes.
And not the general public.
Yes, no, that makes sense.
Then after that point, we'll see what happens from there. But I do want to talk to them.
Well, this is certainly a big deal. Tyrell, I know, is having to come in from California to deal with this.
Yeah. And, well, whether it's a big deal or not, we don't know. You know, it may be tragically that the man just died, Alex. It could be as simple as that, too.
Well, as bad as it is, let's hope for the lesser of two evils.
And as it progresses, I'll keep in touch and let you know.
Well, thank you, sir. Now,
sure.
Let's shift gears into, speaking of Navy SEALs, when we first had you on last time, the whole Navy SEAL thing had just happened, and you did say it was suspicious to you. I have talked to the father of a Navy SEAL known by my family for about 18 years. And I mean, I don't want to get too much into it and give it away, but I've seen the photos. I've had family that's met the Navy SEAL. He was friends with one of the people that was, in fact, let's just skip this network break coming up. He was friends. Well, actually, I was told not to give too much away. The point is that the SEALs do believe, and I have this from another source as well, from the wife of a SEAL, but this is directly known by me,
yeah,
that they were put on that helicopter that blew up, that killed the 20-something SEALs, and that it was a National Guard helicopter, that they thought something was weird, that they never put that many on the same helicopter, and that they believe that a bomb was put on board. And then their only question is, did Al-Qaeda do it or was it the government? But they think there's foul play, and that some of the SEALs on there were not just in SEAL Team 6, they were all SEAL Team 6, but that they had been on the Bin Laden raid.
Well, first of all, Alex, let me correct you on something. All the Bin Laden raid SEALs were from SEAL Team 6.
No, I know. I'm talking about the helicopter that later...
Right. But all the SEALs that were on the Bin Laden raid were from SEAL Team 6, and as I understand it, all the SEALs that were on this helicopter likewise were from SEAL Team 6.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. And
but there were more. There were like 22 of them.
Yes.
And the question is, and I know where you're going with this because I've thought about it also. The question is, were the same SEALs that were on the Bin Laden raid on this helicopter? And that, unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever know because no one's even going to know who the Bin Laden SEALs were.
Okay, I do know. This is what I'm telling you, and this is dangerous information. Okay. And again, this is directly...
Well, you're ahead of me because I don't know. You know, all I know is it's a speculation that I took was, oh boy, the 22 SEALs that went down in this helo, were they the Bin Laden SEALs and would they have done that to shut them up?
Well, Well, let's look at this from this perspective, Governor, and then I'm going to tell you what I was told, and I want to get your expert opinion on this. And again, when I got you on as a guest, I hadn't even thought to bring this up, so it just popped in my head now, so I'm going back to the data, so it'll take me just a second to be exact here. What I was told through a wife of a SEAL, who was not in SEAL Team 6 but is currently serving, was that the SEALs got on the helicopter at the Bin Laden raid. This is what witnesses all saw, and that it blew up and had some type of bomb on it. They didn't blow it up, but they were killed, and that Pakistani military came and got the bodies and got the helicopter. That has since come out on Pakistani TV, and that was that big diplomatic row and fight with their governments. But that was just from this wife of a Navy SEAL, and I confirm she was who she said she was, but
let me interject something, though, Alex. SEAL Team 6 is so secretive, wives don't even know about it.
Bob's going to go further, though. That's what I'm telling you.
Let me explain. I have a friend who was on SEAL Team 6, and his wife had no idea that he was.
Well,
that's
this one...
how secretive Team 6 is.
No, I understand.
Wives don't even know if their husbands are on that team. So I would be a bit skeptical of your information, on that basis alone.
Well, listen, that's why I was saying I didn't go with that info because I couldn't confirm that. In this other case, this is a current SEAL who has a friend who is in SEAL Team 6. He was not in the helicopter, the second helicopter that went down. But that what he said is the SEALs are angry and think that either Al-Qaeda or somebody else set them up, put them on the National Guard helicopter, and that it was some type of assassination. So that's the info I have, and that is directly from the father of the Navy SEAL.
Okay, I can't comment on that really because I know nothing about that, but I don't know. I guess all I can say is, Alex, in light of the stuff I do and the information I've gathered doing my TV show and the other things I've looked at, nothing is beyond... I don't put anything past anyone anymore. So I'm not going to say this could be true or couldn't be true, but I certainly wouldn't say that it's not so. I can't say that, but it very well could be. Who knows?
Let me ask you.
That's where I'm at now, Alex. I don't trust my government at all. I mean, I just happened the other morning to watch the movie on Pat Tillman again. And every time I watch that movie, and I recommend people, it's on Showtime now, I think, or whatever, called The Pat Tillman Story. I urge people to watch this and watch and see how despicable our government was in the death of Pat Tillman. And the worst part about it is the very end when all these generals and big shots are brought in front of Congress and they say, I can't recall, over 90 times. Over 90 times in their testimony. These guys obviously are suffering from bad cases of Alzheimer's. And I say that sarcastically, naturally. But at 90 sometimes, I watch the Pat Tillman Show and I just fume with anger, the Pat Tillman Story. So I do not trust my government at all today. I don't trust a word that comes out of them. They're a major pack of liars. I don't think I can be any more blunt than that.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, take Private Lynch. Five of her team suddenly got killed when they came out and said that she wasn't the hero they said. It was a PR stunt to get women in frontline combat. And they did the fake raid that Jerry Bruckheimer directed via satellite on the hospital where they said, hey, come get her. And the Iraqis had pulled out 2 days before, the Iraqi military. You have Pat Tillman basically being assassinated, the cover-up of that you were just alluding to. But specifically, Governor Jesse Ventura, underwater demolition team, Navy SEAL, the whole nine yards, when you heard that members of SEAL Team 6, a part of the same unit, went down, the biggest one-day loss of life in the 10-year history of the Afghan War, and it just so happens to be the Navy SEALs, and as God is my witness, talking to the father of a Navy SEAL that my family's known for a long time. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
He says, yes, my son is good friends with somebody in 6, and he told him that the whole team thinks that either Al-Qaeda put a bomb on it but then they think it might be the government because it was real weird how they were all put on this junky helicopter. They, you know, never use these National Guard helicopters, and they usually split them up, and they thought the whole thing was suspicious.
Remember this, Alex. That's the first thing you look for in conspiracy and government. I'll just state this, and I have no knowledge. What you're telling me, I can't add to it. I can't say you're right or wrong. But I will say this. In all of my dealings and in doing conspiracy theory and writing my book and doing everything I've been doing in the last over decade now, the thing you always look for with government is when there's a violation of standard operating procedures. When government violates a procedure that they normally will or won't do, whatever it might be, and believe me, it's that way in the military, it's that way in regular government. Everything government does is done under standard operating procedures. When those are violated, that's your first sign that something isn't kosher. That's your first sign that you may have a cover-up, that you may have a conspiracy, if you want to call it that, whatever name you want to give to it. But the first thing you look for is a violation of standard operating procedures. So if your SEAL is giving you the information that they were put on a helicopter that they don't normally fly, and if things didn't seem normal and very out of sorts for what they were being asked to do, because let me put it to you this way, the SEALs today have unlimited money.
That's exactly what the father said.
We used to have to beg, borrow, and steal back in the Vietnam days because we weren't the number one unit then as far as guerrilla warfare, not in the guerrilla warfare community, but the focus of the general military back then was on conventional military. Today that focus has changed because conventional military today is obsolete. Today it's on small unit tactics and guerrilla warfare, which is the SEALs are the best. Also add in the Delta Force, who is very good, the Green Berets. The list goes on and on of the small unit guys and what they do. But so it seems strange to me that today when the SEALs have unlimited money and resources at their disposal, that they would all of a sudden put them on a helicopter that isn't one of theirs. They all are working together with their helo pilots, their boat drivers. That all took place after the fiasco in the desert of the Iran hostage raid. You remember that one?
Sure, the Delta Force.
Everything got all screwed up. Well, that changed everything at that point. And it changed it to the better, to where they put the helo pilots, the boat drivers, are all under the same command, and they work with the teams every day.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what the father was saying. I was just crystallizing it. But they said standard operating procedure wasn't followed. They used equipment they never used. They used a junky National Guard helicopter. The mission was weird. They asked them, why are we going out to this site? Then they said it was SEAL Team 6 that was involved in the bin Laden raid in Reuters. Then they said it wasn't. Then they said they were going to after Taliban in a rescue mission. Then it wasn't. That was the whole point, was the whole thing was a lie. And that, quote, and again, they couldn't believe their own government did it. So they said it's as if Al-Qaeda was like had a mole or something and had put a bomb on there.
Well, I think that's giving Al-Qaeda a lot more credit
sure.
than they deserve.
Sure, but the SEALs are then having to wonder. Then, I mean, what happened?
You know, again, Alex, I can only state that I don't trust that my government officials at all today. Not one bit.
Let me ask you this. What did you think the minute you heard that helicopter blew up?
Well, naturally, it gutted me because it's my teammates. It's my people. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an underwater demolition guy from World War II or the most elite guy on SEAL Team 6 today. We are all one fraternity. We are an elite fraternity of very special men who go through the most difficult training in the world in hopes of being the best sailor we can be and defend our country. And so what happens to me when I hear that, I cry. Because when they die, a little bit of me dies. That's how tight we are. And it doesn't matter through generations. I'm class 58, and today they're up to class, I don't know, 290, to something or other way up there. I don't even know. But it doesn't matter. We are all brothers. And so when SEALs die, I cry. It hurts.
All right, Governor, powerful information. Stay there. I want to get into 2012 election and more straight ahead.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, Bill, pick up line 3. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Sign here. Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the Safety Net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit safetynetsavings.com. That's safetynetsavings.com. Visit safetynetsavings.com today.
Alex Jones here with vital information concerning our nation's fragile food supply. Folks, there are some truly dangerous trends forming, and I think it's important for my listeners to do three things right away. Number one, study the past. History really does repeat itself. Number two, learn to spot the dangerous food shortage trends. Number three, take decisive action. A perfect storm is brewing, or a global food crisis. That's why I'm telling everyone to read the new book, Rising Prices, Empty Shelves. Warning signs that trigger the deadliest famines in history. Don't get caught unprepared when the crisis hits. This book is only available at risingprices.emptyshelves.com. You'll also get a free copy of Supermarket Survival, How to Cut Your Grocery Bills in Half. Again, that website is risingprices.emptyshelves.com. That's risingprices.emptyshelves.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. In the time we have left in the rest of this hour, we'll get into the upcoming TV show with Sean Stone, who looks just like Oliver Stone and really smart guy. Of course, another great director in his own right and researcher, Tyrell Ventura, another chip off the old block. So certainly the next generation of tyranny fighters with the show Conspiracy Theory. Jesse, when you get him on, never talks about his books, but I would add that you support Jesse and his work and our work when you get them from us. It's Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell. This is a great book. 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Available discounted at Infowars.com. And, of course, his last book, American Conspiracies, the one before this one with Dick Russell, is also excellent. Before he leaves us, we'll talk about some of the new books that are scheduled to be coming out as well. But, Jesse, finishing up before we get into TSA, before we get into all these other subjects, during the break you were saying something a little more. A light bulb was going off from your underwater demolition Navy SEAL days about the 22 crammed on with 12 others on board that helicopter.
Well, the light bulb was, again, like we talked about, Alex, standard operating procedures, and generally a standard operating procedure, to the best of my knowledge in the SEALs, is it's one platoon per helo. And a platoon is 12 enlisted and two officers. So clearly, there was a, if that's true, there was a violation of standard operating procedure right there. There were too many SEALs on board one specific helicopter. Normally, they would have divided that into two to three helos.
That is exactly what the father said his son, the Navy SEAL, said. And again, I know the family.
Sure. Well, then things haven't changed that much because I've been out for 40 years, you know, but it's still pretty much the same rules would apply, I would imagine.
Well, it's just incredible that the entire SOP was different, and then it just so happens to be SEAL Team 6. Again, the biggest one-day loss in troops.
Well, and I'll tell you the sad part about it being SEAL Team 6. These are all career men. You're not going to find a guy on SEAL Team 6 that's wet behind the ears and just left high school or college a year ago. These are all combat seasoned veterans, probably with 2 to 3 to 4 tours to Iraq and Afghanistan on regular SEAL teams. You know, and so SEAL Team 6 are guys that have been specially selected to do that type of work. Not that all the SEALs are could potentially be qualified for SEAL Team 6, certainly. But 6 is basically made up of, you're not going to find many 22-year-olds, I don't believe, in Team 6. Most of the guys are going to be between probably 27, 32 years old.
And they've survived a lot of deadly missions.
Oh, absolutely.
Only to be blown out of the sky to keep something secret. I mean, it's come out now that the Bin Laden thing. They had a fake Situation Room photo. They lied and said Obama was watching it. They lied and said they had live feeds. They lied, threw him in the water.
Let's take it all the way back, then. Let's take the lies to where they go back to, and that's George Bush and these whole wars to begin with.
Yes.
You know, let's not let him off the hook either, because he's the one that put us in these wars. He's the one. 9/11 happened on his watch. And so to me, it goes back to Cheney, Bush, Rove, and that whole cast of characters even more so than Barack Obama.
Certainly. Look, I've exposed them, but at the end of the day, Barack Obama saying, I don't need Congress to launch an attack in Libya.
I agree. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm an equal despiser of both the Democrats and Republicans, but I like to keep people focused on that they shouldn't have just 1 or 2 year memories, that these memories need to go back at least a decade.
No, I agree with you. Shifting gears into another area, when I was talking to you the other day, you said, Alex, I'm like a honey badger. I just don't care anymore.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Alex, it's my patriotism to this government is literally shredded. I don't have any anymore. To the government. To the government that runs this country, I have no more patriotism for them. And it's a sad thing to hear myself say that.
Well, it's been taken over.
But I have no loyalty to this government of the United States anymore. Because now, to the people of this country, that's different. To the country, it's like my T-shirt that I sell now, Alex. You get it on my website. It says, I love my country, not my government. And it's got Jesse Ventura written right on it, and I proudly wear that shirt. I love my country, not my government. And the government is made up of Democrats and Republicans. Both.
Well, Gov, let's get into the TSA before we get into 2012.
Sure.
Right now. You said that you're going to make a big announcement if the judge throws out your case without even letting it go to trial. I talked to you last week. You said that you were happy to talk, but it's just your lawyer and your opinion, but that it looks like the fact that she has waited so long that your lawyer thinks that might actually lean towards the fact that she's getting it ready to make sure that it does go to trial.
Well, we don't know. There's no way to judge, Alex. You can, when it comes to federal judges, throw everything out the window. they're all different. You can't, you know, you have thoughts that, well, they're taking a long time, so obviously she's studying the case real well. Well, you'd like to believe that, but it might just be maybe she went on vacation and hasn't got to it. I don't know. With federal judges, you have no idea. All I can state is this. Any case like this has been ruled upon faster than this one. This is the longest any judge has held on to a case right now. I can state that unequivocally because it's been over 2 months. I went into court, I believe it was July 22nd or 21st, something like that. It was a couple days after my birthday. That's why I had to get back to Minnesota from L.A., which I had to drive, of course, because I can't fly. And so I drove back to Minnesota and got back the night before I had to go into court. And so we went into court. It was like July 21st or something like that. Well, here we are already past September 21st, and there's no ruling yet. So it's been well over 60 days. Generally, rulings always happen within 90. I'd like to believe mine will also. And when she rules, we'll know. But you can't read anything into anything with a federal judge, Alex, because they're all different. But I just think that she hasn't thrown it out. That's the good thing.
Now, you're saying you're going to make a big announcement
if it's thrown out, I will definitely call a press conference. Absolutely. If my case is thrown, if they will not let me go in front of a jury and have a trial over my Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, then I absolutely will have a press conference.
Well, I think that's important to do. And then also you said you'd pop in here after the press conference. But I hope the case goes forward, because if it doesn't, this country is in deep trouble.
I would think so, too. I mean, you know, although I have to tell you, there was a vicious letter to the editor up here in the St. Paul paper criticizing me for tangling up our court system with such a frivolous, stupid thing.
Well, Jesse, there's a reason nobody reads those rags anymore. They had a USA Today poll last week. 85% are against what the TSA is doing and don't want the NFL, under Homeland Security pressure, to start having private security grab your wife's breasts, your genitals. They say everything will be groped from the ankles up. What's your view of that, Governor?
It's already happening. It's already happening, Alex. I'm a season ticket holder with the Minnesota Lynx, you know, the women's basketball team.
Yes.
And two times in the last two games I've gone down there, they've stopped me to wand me. And the first one, the guy stopped me because I had my wallet and my keys in my front pocket. And he stopped me and said, "Excuse me, what's in your front pocket?" And I looked at the kid, and I said, "I'm the damn governor." I said, "Don't make me have to sue you like I'm suing TSA." I said, "What difference does it make? I used to be the governor here. You know, use some common sense, young man." And I chewed his ass out. I showed him. I said, "It's my wallet, my car keys." And then I got it again the last game. Well, technically, I guess they can do it because they're private industry.
Yeah, but now they're saying it's going to be in shopping malls with TSA, Governor. And to be clear, because you may have missed it, all NFL games, you're going to actually get the genital grope that you talk about in your lawsuit that I've witnessed you go under at the and Ron Paul said it's happened to him at the Atlanta airport. I mean, they are saying now that they're going to grab the breast of your wife, everything. That's it. I'm not taking my wife and kids to a football game.
I would like to know how they expect to get the people in the stands by kickoff.
No, that's what they said last week. They said add 4 hours to get in. They're saying get there 4 hours early now.
Well, then when I would just say this. If they do that, then I advocate a boycott of the National Football League and leave their stadiums empty.
Incredible.
Leave their stadium. You know, that's what this country needs to do to rise up. We, the people, have to start speaking back. And it can be done simply. How about a day of the year where nobody flies?
Yes.
I would love to see that happen.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
I would be a promoter of it.
Okay, listen, we talked about this 6 months ago. We talked about it 2 months ago. Let's pick a date, Governor, right now, and let's announce the National No Fly Day. What really scares them is the opt-out day. How about we, national no-fly day, national opt-out week. Let's pick a peak time. Let's pick Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving.
No, not enough time to promote it, Alex. I think that to do something like this, you need to go at least a year and let it build up.
Okay.
I would tell you, how about on our nation's birthday next year, the 4th of July?
Okay, that's a good day.
See, to me, that would be better because that way it gives it time to gain momentum.
Yeah, that way it's like 9 months. Okay, let's do it.
But I will all be for it. I mean, it's time for the people to stand up and tell these people that we're supposed to be a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not them. You know, right now, we're subservient to the government. Our forefathers did not have that in mind. That isn't what this country was supposed to be. The government was supposed to be subservient to us.
Well, Governor, you always make the point of you'd rather face the danger. I mean, you can't stop a killer at a school or a killer at a mall.
Let me tell you something, Alex. They're putting the people in danger at the airport. Can I explain why?
Sure.
All right, here's why. When I was in the teams, they taught us to think like our opponents, the enemy. If I were a suicide bomber, do you know where I'd go to blow up the most amount of people?
I'd go to the check-in line.
Exactly. You can walk right in from the outside. You can get in that line. There'll be at least 300 people because it S's in the whole floor. You wait till you get right in the middle. No one's checked you at that point. No one's done anything to you at that point. And you're in a crowd of 300 people, you then blow yourself up.
It's like if there's ever a killing in a cornfield, are they going to say we've got to have random TSA in cornfields because a rattlesnake killed somebody in one? This idea that...
Well, not even a rattlesnake. Let's say a terrorist gets somebody in the cornfield.
Yeah, so now every cornfield in the country has to have TSA.
Yeah, has to, and you got to be frisked before you're allowed to go out into the cornfield. You know, the point, and it begs the bigger question, Alex, which is this, and this is the part of my court case that begs the bigger question. Why is it the government's job to provide security for the airlines when the airlines are private sector businesses?
I agree with you. Well,
why not have the airlines provide their own security? That way you as a customer, like myself, up here, it's Delta. Delta bought out Northwest. 90% if I fly, my flights are going to be Delta. I could have a relationship, Governor Jesse Ventura, with Delta Airlines. I could walk out to the airport, show them my passport, and they wouldn't have to search me at all. Because they, as a private sector business, would know, gee, Jesse Ventura's been flying for 30 years.
Exactly.
Jesse Ventura poses no threat. Put him on the plane.
Well, it's about being guilty until proven innocent. It's this idea that we're going to put our hands on you. We're going to take blood at checkpoints without warrants under federal grants. We're going to have the federal government everywhere.
Alex, I'll tell you what I see next. Here's what I see next. They're going to use illegal immigration to get us issued national ID cards.
I agree. Ron Paul's talked about that.
Oh, yeah. And then what's going to happen, each state is going to say, well, we don't want these illegal immigrants in our state, so we're going to have checkpoints on all the highways that lead out into our state where you're going to have to show your national ID in which to come into our state.
No, I agree. It's dangerous.
Which totally, totally violates the Constitution. And if we, the people, get sucked in on this one, and if people sit back and say, oh, yeah, keep me safe. I mean, aren't they listening to Ben Franklin when Ben Franklin said the famous quote, those that give up liberty for security shall have and deserve neither?
Well, Governor, look at Mexico. They've got checkpoints down there, and they've got 40,000 dead in the last 3 years. Checkpoints.
That's right. And I go through those checkpoints all the time down there.
Yeah, checkpoints do not keep you safe.
No. Because what do you think? The criminal's going to go through the checkpoint?
No.
Christ. I mean, it's so stupid.
Well, the drug cartels just attacked the checkpoints. Now, we're running out of...
It's like, Alex, at the airports. To get on the tarmac, all you got to do is have a slide-through card. You know, like a credit card? You just slide it through a thing and you're out on the tarmac.
Well, listen, I certainly don't have the money for a private jet, but I've got friends who've got private jets. and Charlie Sheen's come to town and picked me up before, and you just pull right up and walk right through, no security, and I'm on the tarmac.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fraud.
It is a total fraud. Now, listen.
The whole thing is a total fraud. People better start waking up to it and stop sitting out there saying, oh, keep me safe. Protect me at the airports.
Wow, Jesse, so much good info we've talked about, so much common sense. What about Ron Paul? You know, I asked you on the phone, I said, Governor, are you going to run for president? Tell folks what you said.
Well, first of all, if Ron Paul would quit the damn Republican Party and run as a libertarian, that's what he is. He's not a Republican, he's a libertarian. The libertarians have ballot access in all 50 states. Ron Paul could be the libertarian's candidate for president. That's what needs to happen. Get a, you know, let's elect a president that isn't a Democrat or Republican. Then Ron Paul takes me as his running mate. Why? Because I'm the best insurance policy he could ever have. There ain't nobody going to kill Ron Paul and let Jesse Ventura in there.
That's a good point when you made that. Well, Jesse, listen. You know, I talked to Ron Paul privately the last time he ran in this time, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to run, Alex. And I said, look, you're as smart as I am or smarter, Congressman. You're going to win by injecting real issues, anti-war, all the rest of this stuff, pro-Constitution. You got to run. He said, that's a good point. I probably am. I am telling Ron Paul here on air, and I'm saying it to Ron Paul listeners and supporters, to let him know this, and I know it's already been run past him. He has said he'll only run using the Republican machinery because he has a real shot at winning. But if he doesn't win the Republican primary, if he runs as a Libertarian candidate, he will get the nomination. He'll get a strong showing. He could get double digits and be in the pole position like Ross Perot was before Bush threatened him and he dropped out. And Ron Paul does have a chance to win, and you could join the ticket, or you could be part of the cabinet if he offered it. But regardless, then he'd be in the main election challenging Obama and Mitt Romney or whoever else is there. Ron, I'm drafting Ron Paul. He must run as a Libertarian if he loses the Republican primary.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I'm telling you, if Ron Paul took me as a running mate, we wouldn't just do well, Alex. We could win.
I know. People love you.
That right for me, because I never enter races with the thought of just doing well. Jesse Ventura doesn't do things just to do them well. Jesse Ventura does things to win, to be the best. I didn't join the underwater demolition SEAL team, the most elite unit in the U.S. military, just to do something well.
No, I understand.
I did it because I like being the best.
But my point...
And Ron Paul can win. It's out there. All you've got to do is activate and get the silent voters out to vote.
Yeah, that 30, 40, 50% that calls themselves independent sitting out there.
Or the 50% that don't vote.
Yes.
You have to give them a reason to see their vote work.
It would create incredible excitement.
It would create unbelievable excitement if Ron Paul and I ran as the Libertarian ticket.
Well, Ron Paul's a great guy. He's got a lot of great people around him. He also has some mainline kind of Republican people so you're reaching out to Ron Paul right now.
No, I'm just saying I would be his best choice because I'd be a great insurance policy, Alex.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to do anything to him, and that would put me in charge. I think they're far better off with Ron Paul than they are Jesse Ventura as far as somebody who, you know, would cause them major problems.
Well, just incredible information, Gov. But I want to be clear where I stand from. I don't do this radio show because I think we'll do well. I know we're going to beat tyranny. We don't have a choice. I was just being clear that by competing, by being involved, by going all the way and staying in the election all the way through, even as an independent, you win just by being involved and injecting real ideas. You know, to use a sports analogy, you go to the playoffs. Sure, he can win the Super Bowl as well. Obviously, play to win. I'm just saying you win by competing. You never win if you don't.
Absolutely. And maybe what you do, Alex, if you don't win this time, you lay the groundwork for the next guy to win.
Exactly.
No, I understand that. It's a process that takes a while. I could never have been governor of Minnesota without the runs that Dean Barkley did before me. Because Dean Barkley was the man that got my party major party status in the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
And it took Dean Barkley to do that first before I ever would have had. If Dean hadn't done that, there's no way that I would have won governor because I wouldn't have had major party status and I wouldn't have been included in the debates.
Exactly. There are trailblazers that come before us, and then each of us is a trailblazer for the next.
Precisely. Precisely. So that's what needs to happen. Ron Paul needs to quit the Republican Party, get the nomination of the Libertarian Party, but he's got to. It has to be the Libertarian small L.
Well, I did hear a little bird that may be why. In fact, there's no maybe about it. He is probably. I'm not going to say anything. Ron Paul is looking at what you're saying. I know that. Okay.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so because Ron has the power, and I think if the two of us, and I guarantee you that. As I walk around today, you can't believe all the people that come up to me and ask me to run for president.
Well, I want to talk more about that, but let me just tell you, Ron Paul's announced he's not running again for the House, so he'll be out in a year regardless. And the word is he is positioning to say when he quits the Republican Party that, hey, I'm serving out my term, I'm done, I'm leaving the party, and that he'd have to do that because he probably couldn't win that House seat later without the Republican engine, and that sure. And that it is positioning for that. So I know Paul's looking at it. We need to make sure he knows he doesn't have a choice. Destiny and history has drafted him. And as you said, Governor, a lot of people, look, I know you personally. I know you behind the scenes. You are the real McCoy. That's why I admire you. You are a real person. You believe in what you believe in, and that's the end of it. You're not some puppet on a string. Neither is Ron Paul. And Dennis Kucinich is a great guy, but he's not as libertarian as you guys are. And he said he might put Kucinich in his cabinet. Would you look at being in a Ron Paul cabinet if he won?
I don't know. You know, it would depend on could I leave the Baja. In fact, Alex, if I was his VP guy, could we move the VP down to the Baja? No, because, I mean, the president and VP can't be together anyway, right?
No, exactly.
So I'll go down to the Baja then. As long as I can keep having my Baja winters of surfing, we got no problem.
Well, I've heard a lot of presidents want their, like George Washington had John Adams, they want their vice president to stay out of it.
Well, and I would. I'd be happy to stay out of it. You know, I'd just be there waiting in the wings to make sure nothing would happen to him.
Okay, so officially you're saying you would take a VP spot with Ron Paul.
I would give it very serious consideration. I can't tell you right now I would because my wife is not sitting next to me.
Well, I'll tell you, Terry.
No, anything I would do of that nature, I would require to have to talk to her first. Because we've been married 36 years now, and I don't do much of anything without consulting her.
Sure, sure. But if your other half, but if your better half said green light, then you're go.
There'd be a damn good chance of it.
Wow, that is breaking news, Governor. I guarantee you this is going to end up being in the news today. Well, amazing. We've only got about a minute and a half left. I hope folks get the books. Briefly, tell us about when the TV show's coming back and about new books in the wings.
Well, Dick and I are working on another book that hopefully will be out right before the elections because it'll be a timely book dealing with the elections. And the TV show, we're in the middle of production, as I said right now. Unfortunately, we had this tragedy happen a couple days ago, which we're looking into, of course, and we will probably cover it with the TV show because it was part of it. And when we go on the air, I'm not really sure. I'm estimating that we'll be, I'm officially to be done by December, the first part of December, the very first couple days of December. And so I would figure editing, just with a ballpark guess, I would say the 8 episodes will probably start in January, but don't quote me, because that's the network's call, not mine. And they could start them sooner, they could start them later. I'm not privy to that information, but there will be 8 more shows.
Very exciting. Governor, we're out of time.
Okay, thanks.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.